Oh, come on. How is everybody today? Good. It's nice and warm outside, but it's nice and cool in here. Is that me? Got it. Well, we got Timothy and Stephanie are enjoying some time with family up in the Pacific Northwest. Hopefully they're a little bit cooler. So I'll be leading worship for us this morning. We're going to invite you to stand up, and we're just going to invite the presence of the Lord to just fall on this place thick today. We already know that he's here. The Bible says that where there's two or more gathered together in his name, he is there with us. But Jesus, we just want to thank you for today. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would just move here in a mighty way, Lord. We just invite your presence. We invite you to just speak to us. We invite you to touch our hearts, Lord, to open up our ears and open up our eyes, Lord God. And we just thank you so much that you are good. And Lord, we love you. And we are just excited to hear from you today. In your name, amen. Amen.
Never fail. You're take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. 'Cause holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show. Song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you, we live for you. Jesus, the name above. Thank you.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. All right. If you can find your way back to your seat, that would be wonderful. Hey, if this is your first time to Freedom Church, welcome, welcome. We are so glad you came. Would you do us a big favor, though? Would you scan that QR code? It's on the front of the chair in front of you, or you can do it up on the screen, on the bulletin as well. Or you could just stop at the guest service booth out in the foyer. We have a special gift we want to give to you today for just coming. And also, if this is your first time, we want you to know that we take your information and we just pray. We ask God to lead you and guide you. We know choosing a church to be your home church can sometimes be challenging. It's like, I want this. And so we want to pray for you that the Lord would lead you and guide you. We're thankful that you're here today. So, amen? Amen. We're thankful for each person that comes. Hey, speaking of people that come, on your chair, you should have gotten, you'll see, and this is, we've kind of been talking about this last few weeks, but we have a little card. It's an invite card. On one side, it tells about our church, but on the other side, it is a way to direct people to Jesus. Isn't that exciting? So you can have a conversation with somebody and hand them this card, and they can go to the site, and it has answers lots of questions that people that haven't made a commitment to the Lord have, or maybe they're just seeking. As a matter of fact, that's what it's called, seeking God. And so you're just looking. You know, we live in a world where a lot of people are just wanting to know the answers. They're seeing the craziness of our world, and they're like, okay, is there a God in heaven, and what's going on? And so this is a great opportunity. Can we encourage you to use that? And also, you'll see a little invite card, because next week, everybody say next week, we're going to have our special Freedom Sunday. Whoop, whoop, whoop. And this is a time you don't want to come alone. You want to bring somebody with you. So, you know, find somebody, throw them in your car, tie them up if you have to. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Don't put that online. Just bring somebody with you to church and follow. We're going to have a phenomenal guest speaker. You're not going to want to miss him speaking. He's been a district superintendent. He's got a powerful message. You guys are going to want to come. We also have, right after service, we do a big barbecue, and we provide all the meat and the hot dogs and all those all-American yummies that we eat, but we ask that you guys would help us with the sides. So that's what I'm asking you today. In the foyer, you'll see a little sign-up sheet that has, and most of the items can be purchased. It's not like we're asking you to spend 6 hours in the kitchen. So most of the things you can just go purchase at your local store and bring it here, and we'll have a great time. There's water activities for the kids, because we know it's going to be in 90, but right? Past 86. Who said 80s? Oh, we're claiming it. We're naming it and claiming it. Woo! I've felt the Holy Ghost. Anyway, so there'll be lots of things. We don't want it to get too cool, or the kids will turn blue. But hey, we're going to have a lot of exciting things for. There's even a cornhole tournament where you and your partner can end up splitting $100. Whoop whoop whoop! So make sure to sign up in the foyer for this. This is a really fun opportunity. We've had so many people come over the years, and we want to celebrate freedom in Christ. It's just a great day. We're going to actually be setting up for that on Saturday. So if you can help us at all, we would love for that. We need people to roll up their sleeves and help us. And if we all work together, 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 if we all work together, how happy Pastor will be. So listen, setup time is at 9 next Saturday. So if we work together, it shouldn't be very long. We put up all the tents, and we want to provide a lot of that stuff. So if you can help us, wonderful. You'll see a couple other announcements in the bulletin. Can I just encourage you to be faithful in your giving? Listen, we do a lot. We may be small, but we're mighty. Listen, because Jesus makes us that way, and we have given this year. We have made an impact in India. You've made an impact in the Philippines. You've made an impact in Ukraine. You've made an impact in Indonesia. Do you guys realize that you have made impacts all around the world? And we have been focusing this month really on the impact of El Dorado County. We went to the fair, and now we're going to do Freedom Sunday. But we're going to give you guys more ways to impact the world. So listen, be faithful in what seed the Lord puts in your hand, what material wealth and things. Just say, God, I want it to go for the kingdom. And so you can do that by giving online or you can slow-mo away, I guess, in the back. There's a box. And so, anyway, having said all that, you guys, boys and girls, go to your class. Youth will go to their class, and pastor will come to his class.
Church, and I want to thank you for the reports you're hearing back, for how you're literally doing it. You're moving everybody every day closer to Jesus. And thank you for sending your stories to Pastor Scott. You're encouraging him. You know that? As he's igniting you, you're igniting him. And so there's a double blessing going on here. And for the rest of you, what happened to you? Actually, it's quite normal. It takes a few, and then it spreads, and then it spreads. And then eventually everybody in the church starts sharing their faith. Look around right now. Look around you. Can you imagine if all of you in the sanctuary this morning would start moving everybody every day closer to Jesus? Can you imagine the impact you could have on your community, on the greater area, and on your church? I mean, this is incredible. How many people can come to the Lord if you just put your mind to it? You know, this is God's calling on our lives. In your Freedom Church, you know what freedom is? Freedom is knowing that God is making everything in your life work together for good. That's what freedom is. And you know what Romans 8:28 says? He says, I promise you, I'll make everything in your life work together for good when you love me and you live your life for my purpose. What's God's purpose? His purpose is to seek and save the lost. When you move everybody, when you commit to move everybody every day closer to Jesus, you're living for God's purpose, and you step into freedom. You step into God's promise to make everything in your life work together for good. Hey, you got Freedom Sunday coming up. What an opportunity to invite people to your church and minister to them and love on them. And yes, give them the Seeking God card where you have that opportunity. Give them everything they need to know to understand who Jesus is, how much he loves them. This is amazing. And for those of you who haven't gotten on the bus yet, it's time to get off the bench and into the game and move everybody every day closer to Jesus.
You know, that's kind of been our focus and our mission. That's really our mission throughout life, isn't it? How many of you know this is not, oh, we're going to do a summer series, we're going to do this. It's like from this point to the end of your life. Yes. Amen? That we are going to be a lifelong sharer of our faith. And I've been enjoying hearing some of the stories you guys have been telling. Some of you guys are really taking it. And I'm not going to share any at the moment, but I want to tell you, because I've had a couple people come up and say, oh, I don't want to say anything. I feel like I'm boasting if I tell you how God used me. How many of you know that's not boasting? That is a testimony. And listen, if you're afraid to say something, I just want to assure you that by sharing how God used you to touch somebody else, that's not vanity. Unless you say, Well, I'm so good. You know what I did? I did this, that, and the other thing, and they're on their knees repenting on the asphalt. No. If you're focusing on you, then that's the wrong way. But it's not being prideful to say, you know what? God opened this door. I was able to share Christ with this individual. These are what we call a testimony and how God uses. Can I tell you, I think many of you will understand, a testimony, number one, it should give God glory. When you tell, you should point it to God and make sure He gets the glory for it. And secondly, testimonies encourage other people, don't they? Like when you hear somebody's story, whatever it is that they're telling you, hopefully it's kind of like our little match right here. Your testimony can ignite the person next to you. And it keeps going down the line till, you know what, we can be a church that's on fire for God. Amen? Not one that is like, you know, we don't want to be the frozen chosen, do we? No, we want to be on fire for the Lord. And when people see us, that it's like, you've got something that I want. Amen? Sometimes you can look at another Christian, it's like, whatever you got, you can keep it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And it's like, we want to have something that people want. Amen? And what will we have that people want? It's Jesus. Amen? So we want to point. So it gives glory to God. It encourages others. But here's something you may not have realized what your testimony does, is that it defeats the lies of the devil in your life. How many of you know he actually speaks lie? Anybody ever hear a lie of the devil? You're not worth it. You're not good enough. You're a loser. God would never use you. He does that. And I want to show you in Revelation 12:11, very familiar verse. They defeated him, talking about the devil, by the blood of the Lamb. How many of you know, without the blood of the Lamb, without what Christ did on the cross, we'd have no victory whatsoever. All right? God, it's because of that. But it works, in his blood works in combination by our testimony. By us actually speaking it out, it begins to defeat the enemy. The hymn, if you back up one verse before that, in verse 10, it says, "For the accuser of our brethren and sisters," that's the enemy. How many of you know he points out, you're this, you're that, you're the other thing. And that's what he does before God. It says he's been thrown down to the earth, the one who accuses them before God day and night. Can I tell you, he doesn't just accuse us to God. You know who else hears that? You and I hear that. We hear those accusations. And it could be a whole array of things. But when it comes to sharing your faith, you know what he accuses us of? And I think most of us have probably heard something similar to this. Some of the things he accuses of, you don't even know what to say. Anybody ever feel that? You're like going to say, I don't even know what to say. Or you're going to look foolish. All right, you're gonna make a fool of yourself if you do that. They're gonna make fun of you. And besides, you're an introvert. How many of you guys are introverts? Raise your hand. Yeah, if you just raised your hand, you're not really an introvert. You just stepped out in boldness. Right? Pat that person on. I see, that was a little trap right there, right? So here's the thing. You don't have to know what to say, because why? The Holy Spirit will give you the words. And I want to give you an example that happened to me on Friday. And we came up here for men's Bible study, and our daughter and son-in-law had come down for the week. They're back up in Washington. Everybody say boo-hoo. Right? It was too short. But they needed an oil change in their car, and it was leaking oil, so we got a little oil in our driveway now, but that's okay. And so he's like, I need to get an oil change before we go. And so I took him over to Splasherville, because here's a little plug there. If you got your oil at O'Reilly's and then you take it over there, it's cheaper. Okay? There's the plug right there. But anyway, he came to Bible study and he had this shirt that had 9 jars of different kinds of pickles on it. Some of you guys that came, I don't know if you remember seeing that. And it's his pickle shirt, I guess. So anyway, the car's in there getting oil change. Him and I are on the inside. And I remember seeing Wayne. He was over there. We were on the inside. And there was a guy behind the counter. And I was like, all right, Lord, I want to say something to him. But I don't even know what to say. I mean, I didn't know what to say. Lord, how am I? I had one of my cards. I had one of the little Seeking God cards in my pocket. And I just took a moment. And I'm like, okay, Lord, how can I start a conversation with him that's not going to be weird? right? How many of you know? That's another lie. Then anyway, as soon as I finished praying that, he made a comment on my son-in-law's pickle shirt. And he says, oh man, seeing your shirt makes me want to have pickles. And so it made me think about our movie day that is coming up, by the way, in a couple of weeks, movie night. We always have the big pickles. And how many of you guys love the big pickles? All right, so we'll be giving out. And so I said, oh, yeah. And he goes, oh, man. He goes, I love those pickles. I haven't had one of those. And I said, well, you'll have to come to our movie night. And he had an Arkansas Razorback hat on. And if some of you guys didn't know, my wife is from Arkansas. Every now and then the accent comes out. And so I was like, you know, I said, are you from Arkansas? And he told me, yeah. And we talked about Arkansas for a couple of minutes. And then I noticed he had a cross necklace on his shirt, which I didn't see when I was sitting down. And I said, oh, I said, you got a cross. I said, do you go to a church somewhere? And he's like, no, we've lived here a couple of years, and I have. And so I got to talk to him about the Lord. I got to point him to Freedom Church. I'm praying that he comes next week. Actually, when we were leaving, he says, hey, I'll see you later. So I don't know. Maybe he will. But it's sowing seed. But here's the thing. The Holy Spirit led that conversation, starting with pickles. I told the first service, if you get in a conversation this week with somebody about pickles, you know that's the Lord saying, share my faith. So, but it's crazy because the scripture, it's not just words, it's actually true. He says, don't worry how to respond, like, you know, what to say. God will give you the right words at when? Right? He doesn't give them to us early. I just want you to know that. Right words, right time. For it is not you who will be speaking, it will be the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Father speaking through you. Amen? Yeah, I mean, that excuse the enemy wants to say, well, you don't know what to say. It's like, well, good, that way I'll lean on the Holy Spirit. If I do know what to say, it's probably going to be wrong anyway. So we just need to lean on Him. If you're in that situation, pray, okay, God, I don't know what to say, but I'm going to say something. Right? And even if I look like a fool, I'm going to look like a fool. Amen? The second thing that he may speak to you, and there's a lot, you're going to offend them if you say something. And why do we worry about offending people when they have no problem offending us? Wow. Have you ever thought about that? And it's like, but here's the thing, you know, and I've given that book, we've given it. How many of you guys have been reading it? Some of you guys, if you haven't gotten a copy of it, we still have several copies available. Pick it up. I want to encourage you. It's not the Bible, but there's a lot of scripture, and it's a testimony. And when we're talking about the message, I read that book, and it lit a fire in me. Amen? And it's not that I didn't share my faith before, but can I just say, since I finished reading that, it's been about 6 weeks, and I'm not saying this to boast or brag, but I have shared probably 30, maybe 40 plus people I've talked to about my faith in that time. And it's like, I can't, and that's not counting the county fair, right? If you went there. And why do I say that is because not one person has acted offended when I've talked to them. And so we're so worried about things that are probably not even going to happen. And I believe that it's actually biblical and very natural for us to share our testimony. Like, our testimony is not just what God has done for us. Like, that's a good thing to share, but it's sometimes our testimony is what God has done through us. Does that make sense? We don't always talk about that. And if you look in the scripture, when Jesus sent out the 72 to send out the good news, the message, I love what the scripture says when they came back in Luke 10:17. It says, when the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him. Why did they have joy? Because God just used them in a powerful way. Like, some of you guys have told me, like, man, when I got to talk, I was just like overflowing with joy. Like, if you're lacking joy in your life, I want to tell you, you begin to share your faith and God begins to pour joy in it. Sometimes we're like, well, I'm just trying to make it one more day. I don't know what the hymn is. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away. Listen, I'm not going through weary days. I'm going to go through joyful days. Amen. I don't want weary. I want joy filled. And that's when you allow the Holy Spirit to use you. Amen. That's what it's about. And so they came back. They're joyful. They're like, Jesus, you're not going to believe this. This was amazing. I was able to pray for this person. And look at it. Even the demons obeyed us. And you know, Jesus did kind of calm them down. Don't rejoice because your demons submit. You know, rejoice that your name's in the book of life. But you cannot not have joy when God uses you. So I just want to encourage you. Keep sharing those stories. Keep sharing the testimonies. And we want to hear it. The accuser, he's going to tell you more. There's probably other things. I don't have an exhausted list, but any testimony. Let me just put this up here. Sharing your testimony will defeat the lies of the enemy in your life. So when you tell your salvation story, you know what lie that's defeating? When the enemy says, oh, you're not really saved. Look what you did. You failed here. You failed there. But listen, go back and share your story of how God saved you. And it will defeat that lie. Maybe a healing. Maybe God touched you and you got a healing, but then all of a sudden, maybe God healed your knee. And you're like, oh, but I felt something. Oh, no. Tell your story of how God healed you. Let people know. It'll defeat that. How God provided for you and how God has helped you to share your faith and encourage other people. The enemy just keeps getting beaten head up in the head every time you share your testimony. Amen? Anybody want to beat him in the head?
Yeah.
All right. Then like every time you do, just imagine yourself got a big stick. Take that, Satan. Boom. Right? Tell people. Amen. So anyway, that's not even my message. That's the intro there that has nothing to do with where I'm going. So I want to talk about really the world's idea of what they think Christians are like. How many of you know it's not always a rosy picture? Especially if you look at TV shows, media, and some actual real-life examples. They feel like Christians are uptight, they're rigid, you know, there's, you know, oh man, that's just a bunch of, I don't know, I can't even think of a word. So they're isolated, they're self-righteous, they're better, holier than thou. And when I think about that and I hear people say things like that, I honestly, man, you guys need to come to Freedom Church and you need to meet some of our people. Because that's not what they're like at all. And if people could just actually come in and realize that we are just like everybody else, except we got a Savior.
Amen.
Amen. We all have a past. We all have messes. We all have our stuff. But having a relationship with the God of the universe, that's different. Amen. I believe, and I know this about this church, you guys are people of integrity. You are people that have compassion. You have courage. You have humility. And that's powerful. So honestly, I just wish the true perception that people had of Christians was different than what the world is projecting. I wish that we got better press. Some of you would agree. Yeah. I wish we got, and here's the press that we normally get is the exception instead of the norm. Like you hear about some mega church pastor that had some kind of affair or embezzled money or whatever. And people are like, oh yeah, I know that there's Christians like that. But how many of you know that's the exception? There are hundreds, if not thousands, of other pastors or even Christians that love people and are very compassionate. But what does the world see? They see the one. Right? They see the exception. So here's the thing. Jesus knew that there'd be a PR problem. And so what did he tell his followers to do? He says, let your light shine before men that they may what? See your good deeds and praise you? No, give praise to God. Like I don't do good stuff so that people can pat me on the back. Right? I do it because I want to point people to Jesus. And that's really what Jesus is saying here. He's like, you know, your attitudes, your actions, the way you interact with other people, it's going to do one of two things. It's either going to draw people closer to Jesus, or it's going to push people further away. How many of you realize that? If I get my bad attitude and I cut somebody off, and then I pass them, and it says, honk if you love Jesus on the back of my car. How many of you know that's not a good thing? If you're going to drive like that, take the stickers off your car. I'm just telling you, take it off, because you don't want to do that. Like if my neighbor is blasting music and I go over there and start cussing like a sailor at him, don't go over there in your Freedom Church shirt. Okay? I'm just saying. Sorry, I can start going crazy on this. Here's the point. Jesus said, is saying this, live your lives in such a way that it will draw people to Jesus. Amen. That's how I want to live my life. That's why I don't want to do some of the things that other people do. I don't want to talk like some of the, I don't want to tell the jokes. I don't even want to listen to them. Because I realize in my life, no matter what I do, no matter where, and not because I'm a pastor. A lot, I don't even introduce myself usually that way. But just because I'm a follower of Christ, I want my life to point people to Jesus. Amen? And I believe that that is true for individuals as much as it is for a church as well. How many of you realize churches can develop a reputation simply from the actions of a few individuals? Isn't that true? Anybody ever say, oh man, that's an unfriendly church? Don't tell me what it is, and better not say here. That's all I got to say. But, you know, I've thought about that before, and I thought, usually, you know, like, okay, that's an unfriendly church. Are you saying everybody in that church is unfriendly? How many of you know it's usually the action of two or three people? And people are like, oh, man, that church just isn't friendly. And it's like, well, maybe you got greeted by Miss Sourpuss that morning, right? Or Mr. Cranky or whoever it is. That doesn't mean the whole church is like that. And let me just say this, a friendly church, and we've gotten a lot of people to say, wow, you know, Freedom Church, you guys are friendly. But let me just say, that's usually because of two or three people that really go out on a limb to greet. Because I want to tell you, and it's obviously nobody around here, but occasionally we have some people that are not that friendly. Amen? I'm just going to say, there's not many of them. But that's what, how many of you realize, that's why we need friendly people on our greeter team. Right? If somebody can't smile, if somebody can't smile and welcome people, we usually don't put them on the greeter team. Isn't that right? Like, okay, I'm going to tell a story that's inappropriate anyway. So, not in a bad way, but don't read into that. Let me get off of this subject real quick. Anyway, we do need some more greeters. I want you to know, people that will smile and welcome people. And we're getting people on our team. So Pat and Sean, head up our greeters team. If you are not on it and you would like to be once a month, once every 5 or 6 weeks, whatever it is, can you guys see them? Actually, matter of fact, if you would like to be on the greeters team, why don't you raise your hand? All right, Emily's right back there. All right, John's right back here. Chrissy's right over there. All right, they got your names, all right? Wayne's pointing at his wife, so... I love it. Hey, I love that. How many of you know it's okay to have fun in church? Amen? Amen? Even if I think of things that I better not say. Anyway, so here's the point. This is what I want to talk about for a few minutes. What you and I do really matters. How we live our life, how we talk, how our actions are. And let me just say, it matters to a world, because I honestly believe we live in a world where people are hoping that there's a God that could actually do something in their life. Don't you believe that? And it's like, if I knew that God could really do something and help my marriage, help my situation, help me with my kids, help me with that, let me tell you, I don't think that there would be an empty seat around. And so the way you and I live our lives, to let them know, listen, God really can do something in your life. God really can intervene. I believe that the way you and I live really matters to the health of our church. Amen? Because if we do not go outside the walls of this church, how many of you realize the church will die? Amen? We can't just sit here and say, okay, God, blow more people in. No, we got to actually go out there. And let me just say, the reality of most churches in the United States are in this situation where people will not go out. And let me just give you this statistic up here. Approximately 67% of churches in America are either plateaued or they're declining. 30% are reportedly on the brink of extinction. Like, they're dying. And the churches that are dying because, guess what? They're aging out. Here's the, in declining churches, the average age of attendees is often older than the general population, with a significant portion being over 65. And listen, I'm not too far from that, so nothing wrong with being over 65. But let me tell you, when everybody and, you know, the church we pastored before was, when we came into that church, I don't know, 30, 40 people or so. I think we were one of the only ones that, and maybe one other, that had color in their hair. And my daughter was in high school. She goes, Mom, Dad, there's nobody with color in their hair. And how many of you know it's a wake-up call? I think that church was probably about 90% over 65. And you've got to reach young people, right? And so it says the trend is pronounced in mainline Protestants where nearly 50% of members may be over 65. That's crazy, right? If we're not reaching young people, it's only a matter of time before we're all out here, right? And I did some numbers. I did some number crunchings for our church. And on a good Sunday, I mean, here's the thing. We have 130, 140 of what I would call regular and semi-regular people that come here between the two services. And with that, I did the count of how many is over 65 and older. We are right now at about 30% are 65 and older, which means we got 70% under that. How many of you know that's a good thing? But God is changing that. And some of you guys that have been here for a while, even when we got here, that number, I didn't do the number, but it was a lot higher. I never forget when Colleen started doing kids church and when Pat and Sean came and their daughter was the only one in there. No babies in the nursery, no teenagers. And it was like Sam started it all. She got the ball rolling, right? And then Robert and Daniel came our very first Freedom Sunday. And it was like, woo, we got three now, right? And I don't know if you realize that. We rejoiced in that because God is doing a work. We've got teenagers now. We've got junior kids. We got, our kids have really helped populate the nursery. So I'm thankful for that. For several reasons, it's because, grandkids, come on. And I'm just saying that because that's really, if you go into a lot of churches, that's not very, especially smaller churches, they're just aging out. Let me tell you, Freedom Church is not aging out. Amen? God is doing a work here. So what you and I, let me get back to that. What you and I really do matter, like I said, reaching out. To have a healthy church, we need every generation. Amen? We need babies and we need seniors. We need every age in between. So I'm so thankful for that. We've got to keep reaching out to lost people. Yeah. It matters, not just collectively, but individually. And it matters to every person that you'll ever meet that's far from God. And if you were here last week, I put up a statistic. 85% of the people that you encounter in El Dorado County do not have a relationship with God. And it matters how we live. There are literally thousands of people that are within the radius of our church that need to know that there's a God that loves them, that cares for them, that wants to intervene in their life and make them a life that is unlike anything that they've ever expected. I believe it matters to our Heavenly Father where He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believes in Him will not perish. Amen. And I just want to say, as we're getting ready for Freedom Church, what you do, this not just this week, really, actually every week, it really does make a difference. And, you know, last week we had five people that committed or recommitted their life to the Lord. Two of them were in kids' church, and three of them were in this service. That's why if you look out on the cross out there now, we got six light bulbs. Each one, if just a reminder, each one represents a life given to the Lord. Either returning back to God because they had wandered away, or first-time commitment. So we're believing this summer to see 50 people come to know the Lord. Amen? How many of you can believe that with me? That their life will change. And so it matters as we go outside the wall, it matters that we would take a risk and talk to people that your knees may be knocking. Lord, I don't know what to say, but I'm leaning on you. I have found this to be true. The more you do it, the easier it gets. It really does. And it matters that we share what Jesus has done. Listen, that's why we're here. That's why God still has us sucking air on this side of heaven. Amen? Not just so that we can, you know, hey, I hope I get me a bigger boat or something like that. No, we're here to be a witness. Amen? And if you get a bigger boat, you better invite us. All I got to say. So, sorry. I'm having too much fun with this today. Next weekend is Freedom Sunday. Listen, I hope you guys are making plans to bring somebody. I hope you're making plans to invite somebody, because everybody here has got a circle of friends somewhere that need Jesus. And this is my prayer, and I got it down here, is that whoever you bring, that if they make render their life to Christ, that you and them can grab one of these bulbs and go put it on that cross after. Amen? because there's going to be a powerful evangelistic message. They're going to have the opportunity to receive Christ that day. And let me tell you, we're going to have a blast. I believe we're going to have fun next week, but it'll all be in vain if you don't bring somebody. Amen? It's going to be in vain if we don't bring somebody. So I want to ask you this question, kind of moving on. How does influence work in your life? Like, who do you allow to influence you in your life? So let me just say, suppose somebody gets a call. You get a call out of the blue. They get your number, and you're like, I don't recognize this number, and you actually answer it. And somebody says, hey, I got a great investment for you. If you'll just send me $10,000, in 30 days, I'm going to turn it over to $100,000 for you. All you got to do is wire it to my account. How many are you going to be wiring that money? You're like, hang up, right? How many of you know that was old-fashioned right there? Now we just bleep. So, or how about this, ladies? A stranger approaches you and says, oh, man, you're perfect. I got the perfect man for you. I want to set you up on a blind date. They'll spend the rest of their life with you. It's going to be amazing. But we can't set the date up for 2 weeks because that's when they get out of prison. How many of you ladies would walk away as fast as you can? Right? No thank you, right? So here's the thing. When it comes to influence in our life, the things that really matter to us, whether it's our finances, relationship, career, how many of you know we don't take advice from strangers? Like, I don't know you. I don't know your motives. I'm not talking to you. The people we do listen to are the friends and family that we have in our life. The ones that at least you can trust, right? Some of you probably have some untrustworthy family members. You're not listening to them either, but the ones that you can trust. So this is especially true when it comes to the things that really matter in our life, like our faith, our spiritual life. Here's the thing. If people are going to be reached for Christ, can I just say a large percent will not be reached by total strangers? They're not. They're not going to. The TV preacher that's out there that flies his jet all over the place, or the YouTube preacher, because I don't know if you know it, I am a YouTube preacher. Yeah. And a Facebook, because I'm on YouTube. Where's Rob? Oh, Robert's out there teaching. His mom is from Panama. She said, and with her accent, he's like, oh, Poppy, your pastor's on YouTubes. And I'm like, made me feel pretty good. I'm like, yes, I am, right? But let me just be honest. Whoever's watching it, it's usually people that watch on a regular basis. Most people are not going to get saved that way. Here's the reality. 78% of Christians today, they were reached by a friend or a family member. Somebody reached out to them that they cared about. But let me just say, there may have been multiple strangers that handed them maybe a card, maybe an invite, invited them, but then a family member came along and it's saying, you're already thinking about it, and they're there. But I will say, even with this number, that means that 22% are reached by strangers, all right, that you don't even know. So the gospel is still spread one person to the next person the best way. Right. Billy Graham crusades were great. Many people came to know the Lord. But how many of you know most of the people that did that got brought there by a friend or a family member? It was like, oh, well, that was amazing. Somebody brought somebody. And that, look at the in the New Testament, Acts chapter 16. I just want to see a word keeps appearing. One of the people, Lydia from Thyatira, a merchant of expensive purple cloth, she worshiped God, and as she listened to us, the Lord opened her heart as she accepted what Paul said. Paul's spreading the gospel. She accepted Jesus as her Savior in that. And then it says, she and her, let's all say that together, household were baptized, and she asked us to be our guests. So it wasn't just her, all of her household. Later on in that same chapter, Paul and Silas delivered a woman that had demons and stirred up the town. The people were like, oh, we're not going to... They throw them in prison. The story where the earthquake happens and the jail cells pop open. And the prison guard is like, he's going to kill himself because he knows he's going to be killed if these guys got out of there. And Paul and Silas are like, hey, don't kill yourself. We're still here. And so it picks it up in verse 30. He brought them out and asked, like, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You didn't run away. There's something everybody else would have ran away. What is it about you? What must I do to be saved? And I love it. It says, they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus. You will be saved along with everyone in your household, right? Yeah, and then he goes on. It says, they shared the word of the Lord with him. and with all who lived in his household. Even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them, washed their wounds. Then he and everyone in his household, guess what? They got baptized because they believed. All of them, they're like, this is amazing. Verse 35, it says, he brought them into his house, set a meal, and he and his entire household rejoiced because they believed in God. And so there's a pattern that's going on. Acts 18, when they left the home of Titus Justus, a Gentile who worshiped God, lived next door to the synagogue. Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, and everyone in his, household believed in the Lord. So everybody, and so I want you to understand, because when we think about household in our life, we're thinking moms, dads, and our kids usually. That's kind of the extent of it. But the scripture, it's more than that. And it's this word, if you look at the word household when it comes up, it's the word oikios, however I'm trying to mess it up. But the reality, it's more than that. It includes your family, your friends, servants, slaves, business associates, anybody that you regularly interact with. And if you think about it, that could be your neighbor. It could be a coworker that you work with, maybe a classmate, a teammate, coaches, grandkids. Anybody got grandkids? Even service providers, people that maybe, you know, women, you guys have the hairdressers, doctor, I guess men do also. Nail techs, I hope men don't have that. Baristas, landscapers, they are all people that God has supernaturally put in your circle. They're all in there somewhere, right? And it's like, that's who God has put me out there. Not, you know, not to look at them as a project. How many of you know people are not projects? They are future brothers and sisters in the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't ever look at anybody. Oh, yeah. How many of you guys remember Amway? Don't tell me if you were ever a part of it, but it was like everybody was a project, right? Like, oh yeah, there's somebody new. Let me go talk to them. That's not what it's about. We want to share the love. I'm sorry. I get off on tangents sometimes. How many of you know we kind of call this networks now? That's kind of the term that we use right now. And let me tell you, the gospel spread as much as it did in the first century like that. How many of you know that's still how it spreads? Like when one follower gets so excited about Christ and realizes, listen, Jesus, you really are that pearl of great price. I can't wait to share you with my neighbor, with my brother, my sister, whomever it is. And you just want to begin to invite all your whole, I'm not even going to try to say it. So somebody help me. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I like it. Oikos. I had it down earlier until I got up here, and I thought the Lord must be humbling me. So anyway, that's the good news. Can I tell you what the bad news is? Because today in our Christian world, most people only spend time with other Christians. Like they go to eat, they go do everything they do. And they have no significant connection with people that are far from God. Like, oh, I just don't know anybody. And sometimes Christians, how many of you realize, intentionally design their lives so that they only relate with other Christians? Can I tell you, that's a problem. That's a problem. We forget, like I said, the reason you and I are still here are to point people that are outside the walls to Jesus. Lest we forget, can I remind you of our vision of our church? We've had this for years. Maybe you didn't know it. Our vision, and it's on the website, to bring people that are far from God close to God as we love Jesus and others faithfully. That's what God's called us to do. That's the Great Commission right there, also mixed in with the Great Commandment to love God and love others. Like, we're not trying to do anything other than just love God and love other people that we come into. And the statistics say that after 2 years of being a Christian, the average Christian doesn't have a single relationship with a non-believer. And that's sad, right? Sometimes we think, oh, well, you know what? I'm just more spiritual, so I don't really have anything to do. Some churches even get that. Like, oh, you know what? We're holy and spiritual. We don't pander to unbelievers. We're not even going to try to be relevant to our culture because they wouldn't get us. And you get isolated. Like they say things like, oh, we're just into the deeper things of God. That's why nobody wants to come. And let me just say, churches like that, they become very what I would call churchy. like the music, the language, the expectations, how people dress, all of that. And they are totally irrelevant to people that are far from God. Someone's going to come in and they're like, man, you know what? This is just a weird place and you guys are weird. We're out of here, right? You guys know I'm telling the truth. They are far, let me just say, they're far from producing people of the Spirit that are full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. They're far from that. Instead, what they're producing is smug, self-righteous, legalistic, low kingdom impact people. Which church do you think Jesus would be a part of? Amen. So here's the thing. I believe this. If you truly love Jesus, like really, then you're going to love the people Jesus died for. But they're messy. Well, so are you. Am I right? A church that really doesn't care about the lost and have become inward focused because they're going deeper spiritually. Can I tell you that's a sham? That's a sham. If someone claims to be spiritual and has no concern or compassion for people that are far from God, they're not spiritually deep. They're spiritually dead. Isn't that right? So here's the, if you had notes, this is what I'd be, spiritual death always leads to greater passion and concern for lost people. It does, because you're drawing closer to God. Guess what? You're getting the heart of the Father. And when you begin to have the heart of the Father, you're going to begin to love other people. It's just a natural thing. The idea that I got to choose between spiritual depth and reaching the lost, I believe that's a lie. That's an absolute lie. So I'm getting close to being done, but I want to bring up a song that maybe some of you guys heard as a kid. I know I definitely heard it from my wife, teaching kids church for many years. But it starts out like this. Oh, be careful, little feet. So there you go. I heard somebody. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. There's a Father up above looking down in tender love. Oh, be careful, little feet. And then there were other verses. You guys remember? Be careful, little hands. Yeah, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. I want to kind of use this song today because I think it paints a picture for us and how we're supposed to love lost people. Because if we're not careful, I know, I'm trying out for the worship team, just by the way. Timothy's not here, so don't worry, I will spare you. But I want to look at a few of these real quick. Oh, be careful, little heart, how you feel. And I think that, you know, the question is, does your heart care about the things the Father's heart cares for? Think about it. I believe this is the single biggest issue. Like when you face going out and telling other people about Jesus, it's a heart issue. How do I really feel about other people? Does my heart care about other people that God cares about? And I think one of the biggest struggles, Pastor Colin and I, we've been pastoring for 30 plus years in ministry. The biggest struggle is not with people that are unbelievers and they act like unbelievers. How many of you know a sinner's going to act like a sinner? That I don't struggle with that. That's who they are. I don't even struggle with a new believer that comes in and still has a whole lot of worldly aspects, right? Because they're new, they're learning, they're growing in that thing. Can I tell you the biggest struggle is when you meet cold-hearted, judgmental attitude Christians that are mature in the faith. I'm mature and I don't do that stuff. And let me just say, over the years, the churches we've pastored, even being here, there have been people that have come in that are living obvious unbiblical lifestyles. Amen? How many of you know what I'm talking about? And there are churches that would not allow them in. Like, no, you can't come here. You're not welcome. Even in, like I said, some of our churches, we've had people come up, somebody needs to go talk to that person. Somebody needs to do that because they're not appropriate. And let me tell you, there's an assumption there, number one, that we haven't already talked to somebody. And number two, there is a time and a place, and we have to remember the Holy Spirit is the one that brings conviction. It's not me. I can guilt people. Anybody good at guilting people? Conviction is different. Amen? And I think I have just found that loving people into the kingdom is a lot more effective than rebuking people into the kingdom. Amen? Hey, man, you're preaching good, Scott. That was a good one, right? Sorry. Let me just think about it. A church that does not allow people that are living in an unbiblical lifestyle to come and hear the good news and experience the love of God and the body of Christ, how are they ever going to know? How are they ever going to know? And the fact that a church would accept people that are like that, let me tell you, do you realize that we're a church that allows people to come? We don't check where you're, you know, well, what are your views? You better make sure you check them all. Listen, we accept people, but there's also this understanding that we are going to preach biblical truth. Amen. We're not going to water it down because somebody is here. And you know, we're going to speak the truth. We're going to do it in love, but we will accept. We'll accept people that are in the LGBT lifestyle. You know what? Because they need the love of God too. People that are in a relationship and they're doing things that only married people ought to do, how many of you know, we're still going to love people, right? And the same token, we still allow gossips in our church. Ow. How many of you know the gossip is one of the seven things that the Lord detests, right? And it's like, we like to put other ones higher than that. Listen, if you struggle in this issue with allowing certain people in the church, let me tell you, this is what's going on in your heart right here. You're overestimating the sin in somebody else's life, and you're minimizing the sin in your own life. Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, that was a good one too, right? You guys can go ahead and take a picture of that, because that's truth. And it's like, oh, the sin I don't struggle with, I can point out on other people. Wow. If not being a sinner is the requirement, how many of you know I wouldn't be up here, none of us would be in this building today. Isn't that true? So here's the thing. The critical problem with reaching people that are far from God, it really is a heart problem. And how many of you know who has a heart problem? I have a heart problem. All right? And so do you, if you're honest about it. Not all the time. I mean, there's times that my heart is warm and I want to love people. Like when I was, you know, I'll go out of my way to share my faith with somebody. But I'm going to be honest with you. There's other times I can be cold. I can get busy. I can get distracted, and I don't have the energy, and I'm not going to go share faith with anybody. It's a heart issue that's going on. And let me just say, if you got a heart issue, there's no amount of preaching that's going to fix it. Only God can change our heart. Isn't that right? What does he say in Ezekiel 36? And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you, and I will take out your stony, stubborn heart, and I will give you, I love this, a tender, responsive heart. And I can tell you, there are times, even though being saved, that I can feel my heart getting stony and a little hard, callous. Anybody? Come on. And it's like, when that happens, it's like, you know, oh, I gotta love people. God, no, don't just pray that. Begin to say, God, please soften my heart again. Because circumstances in life will cause your heart to get hard. But I believe that God will answer 100% of the time if you say, God, I need a softer heart. God, give me that tender heart. Amen. So be careful, little heart, how you feel. Next one, be careful, little feet, where you go. And I love, let me say, do your feet go where Jesus would go? Yeah, I love that. Where Jesus' feet took him was not popular with the religious leaders. You realize that? He went to the sinners. He went to the tax collectors, the lepers, the prostitutes. He went to everybody. Pagans of all type were welcome with him. And let me tell you, Jesus' feet, where they went, got him in the most trouble. And sometimes we read these stories in the Bible so long that it kind of loses the sting. Like if you think about it, Jesus went to the prostitutes. These were ladies that were currently selling their bodies for sex. He went to them. Like, oh, why would you go to him, Jesus? They're like the tax collectors. It's like, we just read, you know, we think of the IRS today or something. It's like, well, they're not that bad. No, back then, they legally stole from you. They took the tax that was owed, and then they gave a little bit extra for themselves. It was like forced tipping that was going on, right? And they just, you know, and they stole from their own people, betrayed their people, or the lepers. They really had an incurable disease. Like leprosy today can be healed, it can be stopped. Then there was no healing it. Like, and there were no masks either, right? Oh, no, I'm going to go to the leper colony. Better put on a mask. No, and when Jesus was called a friend of sinners, can I tell you, that was not a compliment. They were not trying. Some people hated where his feet went. I want to tell you, God the Father loved wherever Jesus' feet went. Everywhere he went, Jesus' feet were so beautiful that remember the story where a former prostitute that Jesus reached out to came in with a very expensive bottle of perfume, and she began to wash his feet with her tears, wipe his feet with her hair, and put that perfume on him. That's how much she thought his feet were that beautiful, because they came to him. I love this verse out of Isaiah, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. The good news of peace and salvation. And I just want to say this, that when you tell somebody about Jesus, or you give them a card like that and you just say, listen, I just want you to know that God loves you. Do you know how God views your feet? They're beautiful. I don't know if you realize that, you know, and let me just say, feet are kind of stinky and gross, right? But not to God when you're a carrier of the good news. When you're one that's willing to go out of your way and say, listen, I just want to shine Jesus. I just want to give this person some hope because this world doesn't have it. Anybody want to have feet like Jesus? Lord, take me where I need to go. And let me just say, it's going to require you stepping out of your comfort zone. Getting out of our holy huddle, right? We're going to have to stop making the only connections in our life people that are in the church. We got to step out of that. We're going to have to learn some new names, build some relationships with people. And let me just say, it doesn't mean you got to go to a whole bunch of new places. Oh, man, where am I going to do that? Just, you know, maybe the name, if you go to Starbucks or wherever, get the name of the person that already knows your drink and your name. Why don't you get their name and begin to build a relationship there, right? A server at a restaurant. I love this story Dora sent me last Sunday after she left church. She says, I was at Ace Hardware last week to buy the command strips to put up a mirror. They didn't work. The mirror fell. And so I went back to get better ones. And she says, a nice young lady helped me and said that she had a feeling these ones would work. She goes, I was hopeful, but the mirror crashed down again. And then I thought, instead of complaining, let me just say that, instead of complaining, maybe the Holy Spirit wants me to go back and give that lady one of our cards and let her know God loves her. She goes, I had the chance to go back after church last Sunday, and I didn't know, oh, should I go back or not? But she said, I had no idea when this lady would even work again. But I was obedient, and the lady was right there. I told her why I had come back. She said, she goes, well, I'm a Christian. I go to church. But she took the card and was very thankful. But this is the cool thing. There was another girl standing right next to her and seemed very interested in what we were talking about. And then I like how she says it. We'll see what the Holy Spirit does. Right? And it's like, just build the relationships that you come in contact with. It's really that simple, right? The places that you already go become a part of your oikos. Amen. I said it right that time. Number three, oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Are my hands doing the things that Jesus would do? How many of you know his hands were extended to serve other people? Heal the leper, touch the blind eyes. He extended his hand to touch the little children. Remember, the disciples were like, send those kids away. And he's like, oh no, bring those children here. The last time that he extended his hands, guess what they did? They put nails in them. So ask yourself, do I extend my hands to other people? Your neighbor, your coworker, the young couple that you know is like, haven't had a day away from their kids and since they had them, why not go over and say, hey, listen, can I watch your kids while you guys go on a date? We do that with our kids, so. Whoever it is. And let me just put another plug, because I put in a plug already for greeters. How many of you know you could serve people right here in Freedom Church? Some of you women, because we don't put men in our nursery. Pastor Colleen has got, what, like maybe three or four women that do this rotation in there. You know how nice it would be if she had five or six women that were willing to serve there. And a lot of you guys don't know, Stephanie is almost every week teaching in our preschool class. We need people that are here. And so if that's something where you're like, you know what, I can do one Sunday a month or one Sunday, however it is. Yes, there's paperwork because we got to do background checks. We don't put people that are not checked. But I would just encourage you to go see Pastor Colleen. If that's something that you're like, okay, God, I can serve here. I can give somebody a break so that they could come and service and not have to worry about their children. And that the kids, listen, the kids are getting ministry. I think I shared with you, there were two kids that got saved last week in our kids' church. You know, one of them, I'm just going to say, I got to tell the story. So, is our grandson, Levi. And he's 5 years old. If you guys know him, he's a rascal at times and he cracks us up. But he raised his hand to receive Christ. And my wife, she's like, well, haven't you received Jesus? He goes, I don't remember. And he goes, and if I did, I didn't mean it. So. So she asked him, well, do you mean it this time? And he's like, yes. Amen. So how many of you know it's not babysitting that's going in there? They're getting the word of God. Amen. Sorry if you were going to share that one time, but it was great. So let me move on. Number four, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Does my mouth speak the words of Jesus? Do the things that come out of my mouth, do they honor God? And let me just give you a few tips before I wrap this up. When you're trying to get out of the holy huddle and reach your community, how many of you know sometimes you got to drop some clues with people? And I think Barry in the book, he calls it chumming. How many of you guys are fishermen? Right? How many of you know you got to sometimes drop some bait to get the fish moving? And so when you're in there, start dropping it. I mean, the guy that was at the thing, I dropped a pickle comment. So you know what? And let them know we have a movie coming here. Whatever it is, let me say, if you've got relationships with people and they have no idea that you're a Christian, so do it early. Like 2 years later, like, wow, I had no idea you were a Christian. Like, you never dropped any clue. Do that. Pray for people. Like, even if it's convenient, do it right there. I've prayed with people in the weirdest of places, but do it. Start praying and invite them to church if you can. If they're somewhere, if you're up in Oregon, don't invite them to our church. Find a church right there, right? But wherever it is, invite them. And how many of you realize the Great Commission is called the Great Commission for a reason? Matthew 28, Jesus said, I've given you all authority in heaven, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. It's called the Great Commission because you and I are commissioned to go. Amen? All of us. All authority in heaven. And listen, I just want to say, because if you've been here the last few weeks, our banner kept being held up, but we got it in the back now. Our mission this week is to move everyone every day closer to Jesus. That's right. Amen? That's what God's called us to do. And let me just say, I was telling you about the joy. There's nothing more joyful than being used of God in that. You could win the lottery and burn through it, have all the people betray you, and when you get to heaven, you got nothing to show for it. But can I tell you, when God uses you to reach one person for Christ, guess where they're going to be in heaven with you? What's more valuable? The things that are going to last for eternity. Last one, be careful, little spine, and stay strong. That's not actually a part of the song. But the question is, do I have a spine like Jesus? I mean, Jesus, it's hard. How many of you know sowing seed is not always easy? And Jesus told this parable really about the growth in the kingdom of heaven in Matthew chapter 13, where a farmer went out and planted some seeds, and he scattered seed everywhere. He wasn't like, you know, now we have machines and they put the seed exactly where it's supposed to go. Back then, it's like, hey, listen, I'm throwing seed everywhere. How many of you know when you hand these cards out, when we were at the fair, we handed out close to 1,000 cards. We don't have, that was, people were coming by. We're just like, there's seeds there. There's seeds there. And you may be throwing seeds anywhere. Like on Friday, I took my, or no, it was, I must have been Thursday. I can't remember. Took my son-in-law. We went and got burritos at El Forestillo or something like that. It was good. I'm just going to tell you that. But we're in the drive-thru, and I thought, you know what? I got one of the cards. I actually gave the guy a tip, and I got my burrito, and I gave him a card. I was just going to, I'm going to throw a seed in that window, and I let him know, hey, listen, I want you to know God loves you. Here's a card that tells about God, and you can, and he just had a big smile. He's like, ah, thank you. And he took that, and I got a burrito. So how many of you know that's a win-win situation right there? But it's just throwing seed.
right? That's what God's called us to do. And here's the thing that we've got to realize when he's teaching that. He said, there's different soils. There was the hard-packed soil, the pathway, and some of that seed landed on people. They didn't understand. And he said, he tells them, listen, the birds of the air came, took it up. That's what the enemy does. Some of the seed you sow is not going to take root. You need to understand that. Some of the seed fell on rocky soil, and it grew. The people did not want to grow. There's a lot of people give their life to Jesus, and they never grow. You know what's going to happen to them eventually? Jesus says they're going to fall away as soon as problems and persecutions come. And so that happens all the time. People fall away. You know what? What are you going to do? You keep sowing seed. Some of it's going to land on thorny ground. And what does the scripture say? Jesus said that the weeds are going to grow up and it's going to choke the message. And it says that it's crowded out by the worries of this life and the allure of wealth. But here's the thing that's exciting, because some people are like, well, man, you know what? They started coming. They didn't keep coming. They got choked out. They didn't hear nothing. But I'm going to tell you, some of the seed is going to fall on good ground. Some of that you're going to throw out, good, fertile soil. And Jesus said this, those who truly hear and understand God's word will produce a harvest of 60, 30, 60, or even 100 times. And I think what Jesus is saying, listen, it's not always easy. But we do it anyway. When someone hears you, listen, somebody may hear you this week and come to Freedom Sunday next week. They may give their life to the Lord next week, which is going to be amazing. And let me just say, they may go for a little while and then they fall away. They may allow the things of this world to choke them up, but guess what? They may come and their life is totally and completely and radically changed by Jesus. How many of you know it is worth throwing that seed? I want to pray for us today that God would give you and I an opportunity to share your faith this week, to invite somebody. Listen, all the freedom cards that we have on that back table, a few out in the foyer, you got to take them because after today, they're going to be thrown in the trash. Can you imagine a farmer throwing seed in the trash? Nobody would sow it. Nobody would take it. Listen, if you live like where there's a bunch of people, what an incredible opportunity. One of the things, and I know you guys already mentioned it. Who said the high was 87 next Sunday? Was that you, Robert? He's been watching it too. I have too. My phone says 91, but I need his app. So let me tell you, I believe that God is doing something special right here. And it's not just because of the last 2 years, it's like 107 and 106. It was hot. How many of you guys remember? It was hot. This year, it may be in the 80s or like 90, and I'm believing 80s. So I feel like God, and I'm joking in an aspect, but at the same time, I'm not, because I believe that God wants to do something dynamic here. Amen. Not just for us, but I believe that as God does something here at Freedom Church, that little, let me get to the beginning there, the little match right there, how many of you realize we can ignite other churches around here too? Wouldn't that be powerful if it's not just us sharing our faith? Because I shared this statistic a few weeks ago. The average, only 1% of Christians are sharing their faith on a regular basis. I want to tell you, already in these last month, I'm getting stories from so many different people. We're way above that average right now. What would that be like if all of our churches in this area, everybody was activated sharing their faith? How many of you know El Dorado County would change? Yeah. Amen. We may not be able to, but we can be a match. So I'm believing for 200 people this next week. How many of you know that's a lot of people? Our very first Freedom Sunday, we had 174 people, but then it's been COVID and hot and all of that stuff since then. But listen, I believe that God is setting something up. So I want to encourage you. Will you pray with me? We don't want to say, 200 people, so we can say we had 200 people. 200 people represents a soul, 200 people. Amen. And we're believing this summer for at least 50 people. If we get more than that, listen, God can do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. Amen. So I'm believing that. But it's going to take you being willing to go and invite somebody. Your neighbor next door. Maybe you have a family member that lives close and they're not coming. They don't know the Lord. Or maybe they're like, oh yeah, that church stuff. Take a step. And either they'll come or they won't. It's not your fault if they don't, but listen, if you never invite them, how many of you know, they'll never come. So I'm encouraging us. And, you know, Christina prayed and picked out the songs. So I'm going to ask everybody to stand up. And one of them that you sang that Consecrate Me was, I just thought, wow, that kind of goes, that's like an adult version of the song that I sang you, Be Careful Little Feet, What You Do. But it's a prayer. And so here's my prayer. Listen, after we do this and you need prayer, we'll have some of our worship team, our prayer team come up and pray for you. But this is what I want. I want you to sing this song and sing it as a prayer to God. Consecrate me. What that means is set me apart, Lord, for your service. Like when things got consecrated in the temple, it was set apart, only used by God. And today, the temple of the Holy Spirit, how many of you know He lives within us? And when we begin to say, God, consecrate me, set me apart for your purpose, what we're saying is, Lord, use me to reach somebody else. Amen? So as she sings this song, let's just make it a prayer unto Him. And then after that, we're going to have our prayer team, if you guys can come up after. If you need prayer for any other reason, we want, that's not like the end of the service tag time. We want to pray. We believe in a God that still answers prayer today. Amen.